بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين.
He said باب الوضوء chapter the minor ritual ablution. I love the word وضوء. So let's stick to وضوء. He said لا يصح الوضوء ولا غيره من العبادات إلا أن ينويه لقول رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إنما الأعمال بالنيات وإنما لكل امرئ ما نوى. Here he said the minor ritual ablution is not valid and neither is any other act of worship unless one intends to perform it because of the saying of the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم indeed actions are by intentions and every man shall have what he intended. So here, he started the chapter of wudu. And he said, there is no amal that is accepted without niyyah. You must have niyyah. إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّةِ Indeed, deeds by intentions. Now before you go to the wudu, what are you supposed to do? You have the intention for the wudu. Notice, removal of the najasat. Does it require intention? Even though it is a condition to the ibadah. يعني, meaning, what are the conditions of wudu? We explained and we said previously that conditions are different than the components. Components can be something obligatory, it could be something preferred. In wudu, washing the face is obligatory. Without washing the face, your wudu is rejected. Goggling three times is mustahab. These are components. Conditions is something that is not part, but needed for the act to be correct. Yani you say prerequisite. What are the conditions of wudu? First, it has to be from whom? A Muslim. Saying, reach the age of 7. When you differentiate between right and wrong, at-tamyiz. Ability to distinction between right and wrong. Why we said that? Because the Prophet ﷺ said, teach your kids the salat at the age of 7. So that is the age. So at least the age of tamyiz. That's why a baby, if he has a wudu, it's not a ibadah to him. Like before adulthood, who gets the reward of that wudu and salat? The parents. According to one of the opinions, the parents. Yeah, but don't go whipping your child so he can do wudu every minute. So, at-tamyiz. What else? We said Islam, because the kafir, his wudu is not accepted. We said sanity, age, because the insane. رُفِعَ الْقَلَمُ عَنْ ثَلَاثِ The pen is lifted from 3. One of them is insane Muslim. These are the conditions. One of the conditions also is the intention. The intention. That you need to have an intention. For every amal, you need to have an intention before you perform it. Okay? Now, as for removing the najasat, is a condition. You have to be clean, free of najasa before you do wudu. You have to be clean, free of najasa before you do the wudu. Also, the woman has to be free of menses and free of postnatal bleeding. Meaning, if a woman, she's in a state of najasa, if a woman, she's in a state of menses or postnatal bleeding, and she performed wudu, with her, will her wudu be accepted? No. Because she did not meet one of the conditions of the conditions of wudu. Now, an issue comes up. And some brothers and sisters go to the toilet, and they wash their private parts before they make the wudu. They think part of making the wudu, or a condition of the conditions of wudu, you have to wash your private parts. First, there is no dalil on that. Secondly, this is extremism in the matter. Thirdly, who said to make wudu, you have to wash yourself? If you have cleaned yourself after you went to the toilet, after you went to the khala, you cleaned yourself, you did istinja and you washed yourself, and then you went to work for a couple of hours and came back to the wudu for Salat al-Zuhr. You do not have to clean yourself because khalas, you already washed yourself. Why are you doing it again? Nothing came out. Unless you feel something came out.
Or you're a person who has salasul bawl. You need to clean yourself. There was someone who continuously drop urine, or a woman, she continuously has discharge. She need to remove this najasat that came out. Other than that, there is no reason for you if you have cleaned yourself and there is nothing that had came out from you. Mafhum? Because a lot of people think, and it is incorrect. So here he said, you need a niyyah, and every other ibadah you need a niyyah. We said, since removing the najasas, it's not a ibadah, that's why you don't need an intention to remove the najasa. But the wudu is ibadah or not? So you need an intention for the wudu. Because you could be doing the wudu to cool yourself off. That what do you make an intention for? Do you make an intention that I'm making wudu for the salat of zuhr, or the salat of asr, or salat al-maghrib? What are you making intention for? Always make an intention to remove minor impurities. This way, you can do the salat with it, you can read the Quran with it, you can do whatever you like with the wudu. Always make an intention to remove the minor impurity. Because some ulama have said, if you were to specify your intention to one thing, you cannot use it for another thing. You need another wudu. Some ulama have said this. Meaning, if you made intention to make wudu to read Quran, some ulama, they said, you can. If you want to pray, you need to make another wudu. That's an opinion. But the correct opinion, to remove the hadath al-asghar, if you made intention to remove the hadath al-asghar, minor impurity, you can do anything that requires wudu. So every act requires intention. And intention is something very important, by the way. Very important, because you are able to specify what you're doing it for. You give money for zakat. And you didn't intend zakat, you intended sadaqah. And then you remembered, I gave it for sadaqah. I should have gave it for zakat, too late. You need to take another proportion of money and give it zakat. That gone. Halfway through your wudu, you remembered, I should make an intention. Then you have to repeat the wudu. Mafhum? Because you didn't intend in the beginning. But when we say in the beginning, when do you intend? When do you intend? Do you intend before you start the wudu, or where the intention starts? The ulama, they have said, before starting the wudu, this is where the intention starts. But do I intend with my lips or in the heart? An-niyyatu fil qalb. Intention is in the heart. Let's just sitting now amongst your brothers and you lost your wudu. Aisha time comes. You put your hand on the ground and stand up. If anyone was to ask you, where are you going? What your first automatic response? I'm going to make wudu for salat, because salat is going to start soon. You having the ability to respond very quickly to that, that means you already made the intention, even if you didn't speak. This is so some brothers, they get to the waswas. No, just by you walking in with a thought, you're walking in to make wudu. Or you're walking into the toilet, and after you finish the toilet, you're going to the wudu area, to the water basin, and making wudu. Khalas, it's enough. You don't have to stop for a moment and think and look at yourself in the mirror as some brothers do, or stand to look in the ground, or wait for the water and just hold on. No, that getting up and walking in, you make the intention. Because if anyone to ask you, where are you going? Wallahi, I'm going to wash my hands. I just had curry. That means you didn't make intention. Can you see? The response when it comes out, that is the judgment that you already made the intention. Khalas, it's in your heart. Fahim? Use that as your guide of whether you made the intention or not. Because we do a lot of wudu and we do a lot of salat. Sometimes we think we've forgotten, but you didn't forget to make the intention. Because when you get up and to do it, and you know in your heart where you're going, khalas, you made the intention for the wudu. And yes, the intention, if you enter, and before you enter, the intention is already made, it doesn't have to repeat it before you wash your mouth, or khalas, you intended, the intention continues. Also in the ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke about the intention within the ayah of wudu. Where is the ayah of wudu? In which surah? It's in Surah Al-Ma'idah, verse number 6. Khalas. That's the prime ayah. That's the main dalil for wudu. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِذَا قُنْتُمْ إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ إذا قمتم إلى الصلاة فاغسلوا وجوهكم. And the ayah continues, O you who have believed, if you get up to what? To wudu or to the salat? To salat. Then wash your faces. And the ayah continues. Is the ayah talking about intention? Yes. It's talking, if you get up for the salat, do wudu. That means you already intended. That's why when I tell you, when you get up to the salat, and then you're going to make the wudu, khalas, you already intended. And the ayah also directed us to have an intention by saying, when you get up for the salat, and when you intend to get up to perform the salat, do the wudu, which is the obligatory component of wudu were listed. Sah? So we finish with the issue of intention. We finished with the issue of intention. Then here he said, ثُمَّ يَقُولُ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ. Then one should say, Bismillah. He should say what? Bismillah. طيب. Saying Bismillah. Saying Bismillah. Is it a sunnah? Is it obligatory? First, here he said, ثُمَّ يَقُولُ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ. The proof for that, what has been narrated on authority of Abi Sa'id, يعني Abi Sa'id al-Khudri, عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال, لَا وُضُوءَ لِمَنْ لَمْ يَذْكُرِ اسْمَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ. On the authority of Abu Sa'id, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, there is no wudu for the one who did not mention the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on it. And collected by Imam Ahmad. طيب. This hadith is prime in this issue. This hadith is prime in this issue. Now, here the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and I want you to start thinking here. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he said there is no wudu, does it mean your wudu is not accepted or your wudu is not perfect? Because denial, when you say la, there is no, it could be for nafi al-wujud, to deny the existence. As you would say, there is no creator beside Allah, or no partner beside Allah, or there is no prophet after Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That is denying what? If you say there is no creator beside Allah, that is denying of what? Existence. And you could say, for example, there is no salat. For the one, as Prophet ﷺ said, there is no salat without Ummul Kitab, yani without the Fatiha. Yani the salat doesn't exist, or the salat is incorrect. And there is another denial, which is the denial of perfection. لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يحب لأخيه ما يحب لنفسه. There is, one of you will not become a believer until he loves for his brother what he loves for himself. This denial is denial of what? Perfection. Because if you don't love for your brother to become a good person, did you become a kafir? So, is your imam perfect? No. Three types of denials. So what the Prophet ﷺ said, there is no wudu for the one who does not mention the name of Allah on it. This understanding, the ulama fell into a difference of opinion. Can you see where the difference of opinion came from? Some of the Hanabila have said that the Prophet ﷺ here, he denied that the salat is correct. That's the asl. The basic principle, when something comes, there is no, first you have to look at the highest one. Denial of the existence. If you see there is existence, then you look on the second level, which is denial of what? Correctness. If you see it correct, then you look at the perfection. You move with the levels. So the hadith, of course, To say that the hadith saying the wudu doesn't exist. No, the wudu exists. You did do the wudu. Type to say the wudu is not correct. This is where ulama differ. Some of the Hanabila have said that it is obligatory to say Bismillah. Other Hanabila said no, which is the correct opinion. They said no, it's a preferred to say Bismillah. Tayyib, why they moved from one level to the second? You need the dalil to move from the obligatory to the preferred, isn't it? When the Prophet ﷺ says there is no, khalas, first thing you take is what? There is no correct except with that. Just to settle the matter down, I know I'm going too much details, but a new concept, It's good to explain to them. When we come to them next time, I say here, it is the nafi of correctness. Then you know what I'm talking about. I don't need to elaborate further. Let me give you another example. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لا يزني الزاني وهو مؤمن. An adulterer will not commit an adultery while he is the believer. First come to mind, what do you say? He is a kafir. But if you say he's a kafir, because he fell into a major sin, you become part of khawarij. Here, he's denying the important part of iman, the obligatory part of iman. Not the core of iman, which is takes him outside the fold of Islam. But what is the dalil? The Prophet ﷺ never said that the adulterer should be executed like the apostate. He said there is different rulings, as you know, in fiqh. Lashing or stoning or whatever. Can you see the point? Because there is another dalil that reduced it from kufr to what? To a major sin. And that's why when you come to a denial, the Prophet ﷺ says, there is no wudu. If you don't mention the name of Allah on it, there is another dalil that reduced it to what? To mustahab. What is the dalil? First and foremost, this hadith is a very, very weak hadith. Imam al-Bukhari and others, they said it is weak. Even Imam Ahmad rahimahullah himself, he said there is nothing being confirmed in the issue of mentioning the name of Allah before the wudu, or when you're doing wudu. So this is the proof that it is not obligatory, because you cannot make something obligatory upon people. Why? In a very weak hadith. Then why it becomes sunnah? Because mentioning the name of Allah before you do anything becomes sunnah, to say bismillah. And all the ones who narrated the wudu of the Prophet ﷺ, they never narrated that he said bismillah before he started his wudu. That's the second dalil. All the narrators from the companions who narrated the way our beloved the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam performed his wudu, none of them narrated that he said bismillah before he started his wudu. And regardless, the hadith is at a weak level that cannot even be elevated to the level of accepted hasan. It's a very weak hadith. And that's why the ulama, they weakened this hadith. And then we move from wajib to what? Mustahab. It's preferred to say bismillah just because you're mentioning the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as the barakah to name, to mention the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tayyib, yes, another issue to come to say bismillah. Let's say you're making wudu in a toilet. How do you say the bismillah? Do you say it outside? You can say it outside and enter. But Imam Ahmad, subhanallah, he was asked this question about a person who sneezed in the toilet. How does he say alhamdulillah? He said, Imam Ahmad rahimahullah, he says it in his heart. And that is narrated in the Mughni. He says it in his heart. Someone sneezed inside the toilet. He can't say alhamdulillah. You say it in your heart, yani within you. You don't utter it on your tongue. طيب. Based on this, we do takhrij. What is takhrij? To do qiyas, analogy, on the opinion of Imam of the Madhab. Who's the Imam of the Madhab? Imam Ahmad. The takhrij is to say bismillah in your heart. This way you gain the sunnah. He said, وَيَغْسِلُ كَفَّيْهِ ثَلَاثًا. He should then wash his hands 3 times. وَيَغْسِلُ كَفَّيْهِ ثَلَاثًا. It is preferred when you start your wudu to wash your hands 3 times. Preferred. Where did we get this from? The hadith of Himran. He described how Uthman radiallahu anhu performed his wudu. روى حمران أن عثمان بن عفان رضي الله عنه دعا بوضوء. حمران said that عثمان رضي الله عنه called for water to perform wudu with. فتوضأ. And then he performed wudu. فغسل كفيه 3 times. He He washed his hands 3 times.
ثُمَّ مَطْمَضَ وَاسْتَنْثَرَ.
Then he مَطْمَضَ, goggled the water, يعني risen his mouth, and snuffed water into his nose.
ثُمَّ غَسَلَ وَجْهَهُ 3 times.
Then he washed his face 3 times. And so on, the hadith continues. Or let's continue it anyway.
ثُمَّ غَسَلَ يَدَهُ الْيُمْنَى إِلَى الْمَرَافِقِ إِلَى الْمِرْفَقِ 3 times.
ثُمَّ غَسَلَ يَدَهُ الْيُمْنَى إِلَى الْمِرْفَقِ 3 times. He washed his hands all the way to the elbows. The hand including the arm, lower arm, until and including the elbows 3 times.
ثُمَّ غَسَلَ يَدَهُ الْيُسْرَى مُثْلَ ذَلِكَ.
And then he did the same thing for his left hand.
ثُمَّ مَسَحَ رَأْسَهُ.
Then he wiped his head.
ثُمَّ غَسَلَ رِجْلَهُ الْيُمْنَى إِلَى الْكَعْبَيْنِ 3 times.
Then he washed his right foot to the ankle 3 times.
ثُمَّ غَسَلَ الْيُسْرَى مِثْلَ ذَلِكَ.
Then he washed the left the same thing.
ثُمَّ قَالَ رَأَيْتُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ تَوَضَّأَ نَحْوَ وُضُوءِ هَذَا.
And he said, I saw the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم made wudu the way I made my wudu, like my wudu.
So Uthman رضي الله عنه, he narrated for us in a practical way how the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam performed his wudu. And this hadith is muttafaq alayh, Bukhari and Muslim, one of the prime hadith of how the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam performed his wudu. So he said, أَن يَغْسُلَ كَفَّيْهِ ثَلَاثًا.
Why it is preferred to wash the hands 3 times?
It's not mentioned in the ayah, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِذَا قُمْتُمْ إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ فَاغْسِلُوا
وُجُوهَكُمْ. So the obligatory part is the face. Apart from what is mentioned in the ayah, it is sunnah.
ثُمَّ يَتَمَطْمَضُ وَيَسْتَنْشِقُ ثَلَاثًا.
Here he said, risen his mouth, مَطْمَضَ, and snuff water into his nose, istinshaq 3 times. To do it 3 times. First, al-madmada is to rinse your mouth. Al-madmada means to move the water inside your mouth. To move the water inside your mouth. This is al-madmada. Al-istinshaq, to snore the water into your nose and blow it out. He said 3 times. Would one be sufficient? Yes. Al-mustahab is 3 times. One suffices you. Al-mustahab, 3 times.
يَشْمَعُ بَيْنَهُمَا بِغَرْفَةٍ أَوْ ثَلَاثٍ.
He said here, using 1 or 3 scoops of water in the process. طيب, what is 1 or 3 scoops of water in the process? To combine the rinsing of the mouth and sniffing the water into the nose in 1 handful of water. In 1 handful of water. Yani, you fill up your hand, your palm with water, push some into the mouth and up the nose, and you blow it with the other hand. Here he said, and also you can do that 3 times. Yani, in 1 handful of water, you do 3 times. Yani, you do once, twice, and 3 times with the handful of water. Or 3 handfuls of water. Take a handful of water, mouth and nose. Another handful of water, mouth and nose. And another handful of water, mouth and nose. Of course, we used to take the water in the mouth and then take another water for the nose. But the sunnah is mouth and the nose. It's a bit hard in the beginning if you're not used to it, but you can get used to it slowly, slowly if you practice that. Let's see the dalil for that.
Hadith Abdullah ibn Zayd, also Abdullah ibn Zayd, he narrated to us
how the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performed his wudu, he said, فَمَضْمَضَ وَاسْتَنْثَرَ ثَلَاثَ مَرَّاتٍ مِنْ غَرْفَةٍ وَاحِدَةٍ. He madmad, يعني risen his mouth, and istanthar, lift the water in his nose, three times with one handful of water. And some ulama said, this meaning three times in one scoop of water, that means he did the mouth and the nose in one. And then he did the second one and a third. This and that is accepted. It's the sunnah, inshallah. Because there's a difference in the hadith. So this or that, inshallah. And as for, as the imam mentioned, the three times, you know, once he said in it, one scoop of water with your hand, one handful of water, to do the three. And he said, or three times. But what is his dalil for the three times? The hadith in Sahih Bukhari also, which is Abdullah ibn Zayd, he said, فَمَضْمَضَ وَاسْتَنْشَقَ وَاسْتَنْثَرَ ثَلَاثَ غَرْفَاتِ. He did madmada and istinshaq. What istinthar? يعني istinshaq is to sniff the water. Istinthar is to blow out the water with three handfuls of water. So, as you see, the opinions are very close. Very close. As for rinsing the mouth in one handful of water, then taking another handful of water for the nose, this hadith, Imam al-Nawawi said, it is weak. He said, there is nothing confirmed about this issue. And what is being narrated is very weak. So the hadith that is being narrated, that the Prophet ﷺ took two scoops of water, two handful of water, one for the mouth and then one for the nose, that is weak hadith. Then he said, ثُمَّ يَغْسِلُ وَجْهَهُ ثَلَاثًا. He should then wash his face three times. يعني it is preferred to wash your face three times. Once would suffice you. Three times, أَصَبْتَ السُّنَّةِ. It's preferred. Here he said, what is the dalil? Hadith of Uthman radiallahu anhu, where he washed his face three times. Because the ayah does not state the number of times. طيب, what are the borders of the face? Meaning, if I take water and just go splash on my face, have I washed my face? Or there is areas the water must reach it? Here he said, مِن مَنَابِتِ شَعْرِ الرَّأْسِ إِلَى مَنْ حَدَرَ مِنَ اللَّحْيَيْنِ وَالذَّقْنِ. Here he said, the lengthwise from the points where hair grows on the head down to the curve of the jawbones, and breathwise from ear to ear. Meaning, where does the hair come out? From here, from where the hair starts to grow on your forehead, top of your forehead, all the way to here. The line that is under your chin. As for the ears, yani the length, starts from where the ear, aslul udhun, where the ear starts to grow, where the ear starts from here. This is from here. So, as you see, when you have the bead and you have the lining of the bead here, this area has to be washed between the ear and the lining of the bead. A lot of people leave it out of ignorance. They just wash like this. And their hands run on the bead, not beyond the bead. And then what happens? They have missed the part of washing the face. And this is, you need to pay attention to that. What is the dalil that the face is from the point where the hair grows down to the curve of the jawbones and the breadth wise from ear to ear? What is the dalil for that? The consensus of the ulama. All the ulama, they said this is, and this is what Ibn Hazm narrated. He said this is consensus. There is no difference of opinion amongst the ulama that this is the length of the face. Then here he said, وَيُخَلِّلُ لِحْيَتَهُ إِن كَانَتْ كَثِيفًا. He said he should run his wet fingers through his beard if it is thick. If you have a very thick beard, then it is preferred to put your fingers between your beard like this and to run the water in it. It is mustahab to do so. It is mustahab to do so. And also, this is the dalil here. The Tirmidhi have narrated that Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu, he said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to run his fingers through his beard when he used to make wudu. And also, another dalil for this, it is the consensus. The ulama all agree upon that. وَإِنْ كَانَتْ تَصِفُ الْبَشْرَةَ لَزِمَهُ غَسْلُهَا. Here he said, but if it was not thick, such that his skin is clearly visible, he is obligated to wash it. So if you have a small bead and very thin bead, and it's a thin bead, then you have to make sure the water reaches the skin. The water reaches the skin. And then he said, ثُمَّ يَغْسِلُ يَدَيْهِ إِلَى الْمِرْفَقَيْنِ ثَلَاثًا وَيُدْخِلُهُمَا فِي الْغَسْلِ. Here he said, he should then wash his hands up to the elbows 3 times and dip them into the wash bowl. What does it mean, dip them in the wash bowl? Think the translation. No, this is incorrect. وَيُدْخِلُهُمَا فِي الْغَسْلِ. Yeah, he made a mistake, I'm telling you. He should wash, because the hadith that comes as a proof for that, it doesn't say he used to dip him in the... No. Kif. Here he said, he should then wash his hands up to the elbows 3 times and dip them into the wash bowl. We will talk about that. Let's just say here, he should then wash his hands up to the elbows. What do? You wash the hand all the way from the tip of the finger all the way to the elbow, and you enter the elbow, and you make sure that you also wash the elbow while you're washing. And that's what he tried to say here, and dip them into the wash bowl. No, it is, yani if you have a tap, you just make sure that the water runs through the elbows. And what is the dalil for that? The dalil is ما رواه نعيم المجمر قال رأيت أبا هريرة رضي الله عنه يتوضأ. نعيم المجمر, he said, I saw Abu Huraira رضي الله عنه performing wudu. فغسل وجهه فأسبغ الوضوء. He washed his face and he increased the water. يعني he washed it properly. ثم غسل يده اليمنى حتى أشرع في العضد. Then he washed his right hand until he started with the upper arm, into the biceps, up to the upper arm. Yani he started over the elbow. He made the water go over the elbow. So he included the elbow. And here he said, ثُمَّ يَدَهُ الْيُسْرَى حَتَّى أَشْرَعَ فِي الْعَضُمْ. Also he did the same thing with his left hand. ثُمَّ مَسَحَ رَأْسَهُ. Then he wiped his head. ثُمَّ غَسَلَ رِجْلَهُ الْيُمْنَى حَتَّى أَشْرَعَ فِي السَّاقِ. And then he washed his right foot until he started with his lower leg. Started to wash the lower part of his leg. And then he did the same thing for his left foot. And then he said, this is how I saw the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam making wudu. Rawah Muslim. The hadith collected by Muslim. And it is agreement amongst the ulama that you need to wash the elbows. The only opinion that is found that says you do not have to wash up to the elbows or wash the elbows, it is from Zufar and Abu Bakr bin Dawud. Zufar is from the Ahnaf. Within the Hanafi madhab, there is one opinion. Not all the Hanafi, not all the ulama, Zufar min al-Ahnaf, and Abu Bakr bin Dawud al-Zahiri. But listen to what Ibn Hajar rebuked that. Ibn Hajar rahimahullah said, after he narrated what Imam al-Shafi'i said, because Imam al-Shafi'i said, I do not know any difference of opinion about washing the elbows. And you must wash the elbows. And I do not know any scholar who said apart other than that. يعني, it means consensus amongst the ulama, ijma. And that's why, based on this, Ibn Hajar rahimahullah, he said, after he narrated what Imam Shafi'i said, he said, فَعَلَى هَذَا فَزُفَرٌ مَحْجُوجٌ بِالْإِجْمَاعِ قَبْلَهُ وَكَذَا مَنْ قَالَ بِذَٰلِكَ مِنْ أَهْلِ الظَّاهِرِ بَعْدَهُ. And he said, based on this, Zufar, we have proof against him with the ijma'. See, ijma' happened before him. He said, خَلَص, there is an ijma'. You cannot come later and break the ijma'. And also, from أهل الظاهر, يعني مذهب الظاهري, Abu Bakr bin Dawood, it's also said to him, before you, there was an ijma', so you cannot come now and break the ijma'. خلاص? So washing the elbows, shouldn't be any difference of opinion about it, the elbows must be washed. And then here he said, ثُمَّ يَمْسَحُ رَأْسَهُ, he should then wipe his head, مَعَ الْأُذُنَيْنِ, with including both ears. How many times you wipe your head? Once. With the ears. So the ears have to be also wiped. Not washed, wiped with water. What is the dalil that you need to wipe the ears with water? There is a hadith in Rawah Abu Dawood rahimahullah and Tirmidhi. Here the hadith says, about describing Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, he described the way the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam performed his wudu. He said, ثُمَّ مَسَحَ بِرَأْسِهِ وَأُذُنَيْهِ بَاطِنَهُمَا بِالسَّبَّاحَتَيْنِ وَظَاهِرَهُمَا بِإِبْهَامَيْهِ. He said, then he wiped his head and his ears inside of them with the سَبَّاحَتَيْنِ, with the سَبَّاحَتَيْنِ. And ظاهرهما with the ibham. What is the sabaha? This one. The one you lift with the tashahud. What is the ibham? This one. So, inside with the sabahatain and outside with the ibham. So, you stick the sabahatain, you call it the index finger, isn't it? And this is the thumb. So, you put the index finger in the ears, inside the ear, and wipe it, and outside you do with the thumbs. That's how it's been narrated the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam wiped his ears. And how do we wipe on the hair? Do we wipe a proportion of it? We wipe all of it. We wipe 3 hairs minimum. How much is enough to wipe the hair? Listen and pay attention. Rahimahullah, he said, يَبْدَأُ بِيَدَيْهِ مِنْ مُقَدِّمِهِ ثُمَّ يَمُرُّهُمَا إِلَىٰ قَفَاهِ ثُمَّ يَرُدُّهُمَا إِلَىٰ مُقَدِّمِهِ. Here he said, he should begin by placing his hands on his forehead, then draw them back to the nape of his neck, the nape of his neck, and then bring them back to his forehead. So how do you do it? Put your hands here, top of your head, over the forehead, back towards where the hair starts from your neck, and back up, over. That is how you wipe the hair. That is how you wipe the hair. Where is the dalil for that? The dalil is the hadith of Abdullah ibn Zayd al-Ansari, also the way he described the wudu of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the hadith is in Bukhari wa Muslim. He said, ثُمَّ مَسَحَ رَأْسَهُ بِيَدَيْهِ. Then he, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, wiped his head with his two hands. فَأَقْبَلَ بِهِمَا وَأَدْبَرَ. فَأَقْبَلَ بِهِمَا وَأَدْبَرَ. He came from the front back, then from the back to the front. وَبَدَأَ بِمُقَدِّمِ رَأْسِهِ. And he started بِمُقَدِّمِ رَأْسِهِ, يعني from the beginning, the forehead, حَتَّى ذَهَبَ بِهِمَا إِلَىٰ قَفَاهِ, until he went with them to his, towards the back of his head, يعني to the end of the hair, not including the neck. ثُمَّ رَدَّهُمَا إِلَىٰ الْمَكَانِ الَّذِي بَدَأَ مِنْهُ. Then he came back with them to the same point that he started from. ثُمَّ غَسَلَ رِجْلَيْهِ. Then he washed his feet. That is the hadith, and the hadith is in Bukhari and Muslim, where the difference of opinion happened amongst the ulama.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said in the Quran, وَامْسَحُوا بِرُؤُوسِكُمْ. And why? Be with or on your head. Or wipe on your heads. Here, some ulama said, you only wipe a proportion of the head. What is the dalil of this ulama? First, there is two adillah. One dalil, which is hadith mursal. And it is mursal ata. When a tabi'i, student of companion, he said, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, or the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam done so and so, without mentioning the companion between him and the Prophet, this is called what? Mursal. Called Mursal. And the Mursal is weak. The Mursal is weak. It is not taken, especially if there is a hadith that is sahih. This is first dalil. The second dalil, they said, in the Arabic language, if I tell you, hold my thawb, amsik bi thawbi, imsahu bi ru'usikum, bi, this bi here al-ba, they said it is for holding to proportion, not all of it. If I say to you, hold my garment, do you get all my garment and you grab it with your hand, or just part of it? Part of it. So they said, when Allah said, imsahu bi ru'usikum, wipe on part of your head, not all of it. Because if I tell you to grab my garment, you're not going to grab it all of it in one hand, you're going to grab part of it. If I tell you, catch waqas for me, you don't just catch him, all of him, you just grab him from his hand or from his neck. So here, bi, like amsik bi waqas, you grab just part of him. And that's how they, according to the language, they say this is يعني الباء للتبعيد, طيب, for proportions. Of course, the hadith, of course, to interpret it like this would be acceptable if there is no hadith that turns it to it. If there is no hadith that turns it to different meaning. Because there is a hadith, we take the hadith over this understanding. Because also the ba could means to wipe on all of it. If I give you a little ball and I say to you, amsik bihadihi al-kura, you hold all of it and you wrap it with your own, with your hand, isn't it? Nothing from it would show. You could bury it with your palm. True or not? Here the ba also gave a different meaning. So since it could give so many meanings, what do? We turn to, and specifically, we have a hadith. Once you have a hadith, khalas, you follow the hadith, and then you interpret the ayah according to the hadith. Fahim? And you would see that also occurs when we talk, yani some of the linguistic, and one of the reasons why the ulama differed in opinion is the linguistical and the grammatical understanding. And if you want to find out more about that, go to a book by Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah. It's called Raf'u al-Malami 'ani al-A'immati al-A'lam, lifting the blame from the great scholars. Because people blame the great scholars, why did they choose this opinion? He listed why the ulama, the great ulama, have differed in opinion. And one of them, he said, linguistical and grammatical understanding to the Quran, which led them to take another opinion. We have the hadith of Abdullah ibn Zayd al-Ansari, how the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wiped over his head. And here he said, ثُمَّ يَغْسِلُ رِجْلَيْهِ إِلَى الْكَعْبَيْنِ ثَلَاثًا. He should wash his feet up to the ankles three times. وَيُدْخِلُهُمَا فِي الْغَسْلِ. Then he said, and dip them into the wash bowl. Again he said that. طيب. So here, washing the feet three times up to the ankles. One would suffice. Three times is preferred to do so. And also, what is the dalil? Hadith Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu and the ijma', according to the consensus. As we said, the elbows and the ankles must be washed. يعني you include them while you're washing your feet. And also, وَيُخَلِّلُ أَصَابِعَهُمَا he said, he should also run his wet fingers between his toes. Run his wet fingers between his toes. What is the dalil that you run your finger between your toes? The hadith of Laqit ibn Sabira, أسبغ الوضوء وخلل بين الأصابع وبالغ في الاستنشاق إلا أن تكون صائما رواه أبو داود. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم told him, أسبغ الوضوء, يعني do the wudu properly, fulfill it and do it properly, and خلل بين الأصابع, run your finger between your toes, and وبالغ في الاستنشاق, and when you snore the water and sniff the water, go to a little bit of extreme. And you make sure the water runs through. إِلَّا أَن تَكُونَ صَائِمًا. Except if you are fasting, so you do not swallow the water. And then here he said, ثُمَّ يَرْفَعُ نَظَرَهُ إِلَى السَّمَاءِ. ثُمَّ يَرْفَعُ نَظَرَهُ إِلَى السَّمَاءِ. Then he should then turn his gaze up towards the sky. And then say, أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. This issue of raising your eyes, your gaze to the sky, is it authentic or not? That's the point I want to discuss. Lot of ulama, they said it is not mustahab to raise your gaze into the skies. Why? There is a hadith that says, عن عمر رضي الله عنه that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, من توضأ فأحسن الوضوء ثم رفع نظره إلى السماء فقال أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله, and so on. Whomever perform wudu and he beautifies his wudu, then he looks towards the heaven and say أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله, so on. يعني the hadith, this the ulama, they said it has some weakness in it. What is the weakness? They said the proportion, the part to look towards the sky is a weak part. Why? Because the hadith in itself has some weakness in it. But other ulama narrated the same hadith with a stronger narrations without looking towards the heavens. So what does it mean? That doesn't mean, that means that this extra part is inserted and it is weak. It is not from the word of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because the other narration which are authentic and better than this narration, without going into science of hadith, better than this narration, and there are authentic narrations, it did not have that part. وَرَفَعَ نَظَرَهُ إِلَى السَّمَاءِ. Example, the hadith that is collected by Imam Muslim, also from Umar radiallahu anhu, مَا مِنْكُمْ أَحَدٌ يَتَوَضَّ فَيَسْبِغْ الْوُضُوء. Not one of you who perform wudu and he perform it properly, ثُمَّ يَقُولُ, then he says, أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأن محمدا عبده ورسوله إلا فتحت له أبواب الجنة الثمانية يدخل من أيها شاء. Except that the eight doors of heavens would open for him and he would enter any one of them that he wills. So the authentic hadith in Sahih Muslim, the narration in Sahih Muslim came without looking at, gazing at the heavens. As for the one Imam Ahmad and Abu Dawood, it has some weaknesses in it, and it has some in the narrations. It has some of the narrators who are unknown to the ulama, يعني من المجاهيل, which the ulama have weakened it. And then here he said, وَالْوَاجِبُ مِنْ ذَلِكَ. Now he spoke to us the Shaykh how the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and the best way to perform your wudu. He told us that this is the best way to perform your wudu. Now he wants to talk to you about what is obligatory in the wudu. Meaning, you want to do the wudu in the best way, he already told you. Now, he wants to tell you what is obligatory, wajib in the wudu. He said, وَالْوَاجِبُ مِنْ ذَٰلِكَ النِّيَّةُ وَالْغَسْلُ مَرَّةً مَرَّةً. He said, among the elements listed above, the following are obligatory. The intention. طيب. Washing one time in each case, with the exception. طيب. Washing one time in each case. Why one time? Because the ayah did not say how many times, so we resort to one time. Also, Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu narrated in, yani Ibn Abbas also radiallahu anhu, he narrated to us how the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performed his wudu. In that hadith, he said he made the wudu once. Marra marra. And that's in Bukhari. And the Bukhari has a chapter or a subheader. It says باب الوضوء مرة مرة. The chapter of wudu once. So you can do once. The ayah and the hadith of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu. Now I want to discuss with you in this once wudu, what you should remove from your skin. Some people have, especially tradesmen, painters, mechanics. We spoke about the najasat before. Now we want to talk about some other issues. Because since we're talking about washing once, then it is best to speak about that obligatory part to be accepted has to meet some conditions. طيب. First, if you have anything that has jurum. What is jurum? يعني it takes space and it has some thickness and density over the skin, like paint. You know paint, it has a layer that stops the water from reaching the skin. So the paint has to be removed. Dough on your hand. Play-Doh, for example, if there's a Play-Doh on your hand, has to be removed. Nail polish for the woman has to be removed. طيب, what about fake nails? You know the ones they put, the fake nails they glue first. This is tashabbuh bil kuffar. Secondly, tashabbuh bil hayawan, in animals. Cats, they have claws, and women don't have claws. Thirdly, it goes against the sunnah. Prolonging the nails, it is not from the sunnah. The acrylic ones also stops the water from coming. And there is imitation of Ahlul Fusuq wal Fujur. Also, it should not have them. Also, wax. If you happen to work with wax and you have wax on your hand, also has to be removed. As for grease, if you wash the grease and just sits between the cracks of the skin grease and around the fingers, that's all right, because the grease does not, that black, the mechanics, the black oil and that comes around the fingers and between the nail and the flesh, that is alright because it does not cover and stop the water from coming. It's more like a henna. The henna, the dye, they can make wudu over them. There is no problem because they do not isolate the water from it. As for the makeup on the face for the woman. Now the makeup, if it is something that does not stop the water, just like the dye does not stop the water, then it's okay. She can wash the face. The wudu would be accepted, inshallah. But if it is thick, stops the water, then it must be removed. It must be removed. As for dentures, when you goggle, you meant to wash your mouth, and the water must run all over your mouth. And when someone wears dentures, it stops the water from reaching the mouth. Does he have to remove it? No, he does not. Why? Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not remove his ring when he was making wudu. He did not remove it. So they don't have to remove it. They can wash their mouth, goggle their the water, and also hadith of Arfajah, when he put a golden nose, he used to do wudu, and that stops the water from reaching the skin, doesn't it? Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam allowed him. So here, and washing once, ما خلا الكفين, with exception to the hands. Why with exception to the hands? Because washing the hands in the beginning of the wudu is sunnah, it is not fard. And this is something of consensus. And this has been narrated by the Nawawi and others. So washing the hands in the beginning, it's not obligatory, it is sunnah. And according to the Hanabila, it's only obligatory when... we forgotten already, didn't we? When you wake up, who said this? Yes. When you wake up in the morning, you say you just woken up, straight to the basin, you want to make wudu for Salat al-Fajr. Then you have to, obligatory to wash your hands, according to the Hanbali madhab. And here he said, wiping the whole of the head. And we spoke about this, we do not want to revisit it. I want to speak about a couple of issues about wiping the hair. Wiping the hair, if you have gel on your hair, or you dyed the hair, first, dyeing the hair, it's not a problem. You can still wipe and your wiping is accepted. What about if you put gel on your hair? Gel on the hair, also if you wipe, it is accepted. Why? Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to do talbid li sha'rihi. What is talbid? Talbid is to put honey or simgh, which is gum in the hair, not chewing gum, gum that comes from the gum tree. Yes. Yeah, stick it together. Sticking the hair together with honey or with gum that comes from the gum trees on the hair. Now this proves that if you have gel, which is similar to the gel, if you have gel, you can wipe your hair and make wudu. No problem, inshallah, you do not need to remove it. Then what about if you're wearing a wig or piece of a wig? You know, some they wear piece of a wig here. First and foremost, this is major sin. هَذَا لَعْنَ اللَّهُ الْوَاصِلَ وَالْمَوْصُولَ. This is the hair connection is a major sin. You have to remove it and wipe over it. طيب, what about if the hair is planted? Then the modern ulama will tell you you can wipe because it is impossible to remove it. You can wipe. Same thing, the women, they put on their eyes eyelash extensions. That's also prohibited to begin with. Why? Also, this is considered from waslu shari, extensions of the hair. Also, that is not allowed to be put, and you need to remove it so the water can reach. The only exception the ulama gave, the modern ulama, for wearing a wig, if a woman, all her hair has fallen completely, for cancer, for any reason, for treatment, or she's got some disease in the skin that made the hair fall, the ulama said, then she can wear a wig for her husband to beautify herself for her husband for yani necessity. That's the only exception the ulama gave for wig. Other than that, the ulama said it's not allowed. Tayyib, also, what about if the woman has plaited her hair? Does she have to undo it? No, just wipe over her head. And the rest of the hair, she does not need to wipe over it. And let's say she has long hair, just she wipe over the hair, she does not need to wipe all the hair because she's wiping the head, not the hair. Also from the obligatory part, وَتَرْتِيبُ الْوُضُوءِ عَلَى مَا ذَكَرْنَا, performing the ablution in the correct sequence as we have described. The way he described it, that is the correct sequence. So, the sequence is what? Yeah, to start as the Shaykh has mentioned to us. Tayyib, what is the dalil? The first dalil, or every companion who described to us how the Prophet ﷺ performed his wudu, he performed it in such a way. And also the ayah, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِذَا قُمْتُمْ إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ فَغْسِلُوا وُجُوهَكُمْ غَسِلْ and wash what? Your hands to the elbows. And then what? Wipe your heads. And then wash your feet. So, what do you have? Wash, wipe, wash. The Arab would never talk like this. If they want to say wash, and for example, there is two things you need to do. They say wash, wash and wipe. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put the wipe in between the two washes. That means the order is intended. Because otherwise you put the limbs that need to be washed together and the limbs that you needed to be wiped together. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mixed them in the ayah. Why? For a purpose. To be in order. To be in sequence. طيب. What happens if you're forgotten? Instead of you washed your face, you went straight to wiping your hair. And then you washed your feet. You remembered you need to wash your hands. What do? You go back. Because the Sharia, there is a basic rule. مَا بُنِيَ عَلَى بَاطِلٍ فَهُوَ بَاطِلٍ. Whatever is built on falsehood, it's falsehood. So, since you missed the following limb, which is washing your hands to the elbows, you have to go back to that place, which is you washed your face, then you wash your hands to the elbows, you wipe your hair, you wash your feet. Because everything you've done after you wiped your hair, and including you wiping your hair, is false. So as if it doesn't exist, you have to go back and repeat. But you do not have to repeat washing your face because you did it in the right order. Tayyib, what about if I washed my left hand before my right hand? Do I go back? No, because right before the left is sunnah. And missing the sunnah does not ruin the wudu. Missing the obligatory ruins the wudu. Here he said, and this is the last, here he said, أن لا يؤخر غسل عضو حتى ينشف ما قبله. The washing of each required limb of the body must not be delayed such as that the one before it becomes dry. طيب here he said الموالات. They call it the موالات. الموالات to do them one after the other quick. يعني not to have a long time or a break between each limb. How do we know how long we have? Meaning, I just washed my face, washed my hands, up and including the elbow, and the phone rang. I went to the phone and I just spoken on the phone. Is 5 minutes too long? 10 minutes too long? 20 minutes too long? Or when it's too long? No, the ulama said, until the limb dries. Once it dries, you go back and repeat your wudu. Once it's still wet, you're still in the wudu. Let me give you the dalil. The dalil is what Khalid bin Ma'dan, he narrated from the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw a man praying, and on the back of his foot, he saw lum'ah shine, as big as a dirham, you could say 20 cents. لم يصبها الماء. Water did not come on it. فأمره النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أن يعيد الوضوء والصلاة. And the Prophet ﷺ ordered him to repeat the wudu and the salat. He's seen that place that water did not reach it. He said, go repeat the wudu and the salat. Because Prophet ﷺ ordered him to repeat all of the wudu, that is a proof that al-muwalat, the continuity, is obligatory. Why? Otherwise the Prophet ﷺ would tell him, go wash your feet. Or go wash that place where water did not reach it. But since he told him, go wash and go repeat your wudu, that means the muwalat is obligatory and part of the components of wudu.
And inshallah we'll stop at this. Subhanakallahumma hamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.